Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
I want to share with us on a subject I've titled Kingdom Influence. Kingdom Influence. We are in a time where we truly need people who are influential to stand up for God. We are in a time where people must learn the art of building influence and relevance, not for selfish ambition, but for the purpose of kingdom advancement. There is so little we can do without influence. We need people to be influential in every strata and in every corridor of human endeavor if the gospel will thrive. And so this evening, I just want to share with us some biblical principles for kingdom influence. Because my time is really constrained, I'll be grouping a lot of things, and I hope God will help us to break them down and to get the point I'll be sharing. But the hallmark of my teaching tonight is that kingdom cannot advance unless influential men emerge. And for influential men to begin to appear on the landscape, they must understand the art of building influence. Influence is not a gift. Influence is built deliberately. It takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of diligence, labor, and hard work to build influence. And if influence is not cultured and developed, our kingdom will not advance. And as I share with us, you are going to see how across different times, dispensations, and ages, individuals who had influence became the bridge of shifting the agenda of God from one generation to another. The things we do are relevant. Prayers, fasting, they are all very important. But we must master how to build influence, taking advantage of these things. Otherwise, we will pray and remain in obscurity. One of the reasons God anoints us is for the purpose of influence. In Psalm 92 verse 10, the psalmist was speaking and he said, "The Lord shall exalt your horn as the horn of the unicorn." And he said, "He shall anoint you with fresh oil." And so one of the purposes of the anointing, especially fresh oil, is for your horn to be exalted. An exalted horn speaks of influence and it speaks of dominion. Because kingdom mandate rides on the shoulders of influential men. This is why God, of necessity, wants every of his children to be highly influential. Please hear this. It is not carnality to be influential. It is not a sin to desire influence. It is not ambition to desire influence. Because without influence, kingdom will not emerge. there is this myopic point of view that is currently thriving in Africa, and it is born mostly out of jealousy, out of bitterness, and out of myopism, where you find people attacking everything that has to do with influence. They call it ambition, they call it carnality. Listen, I respect process. I know the place of process, but I understand perfectly that kingdom cannot advance without influence. So don't listen to anybody that puts you in that corner of mediocrity and makes you feel Christianity and spirituality is to remain simple and average, not affecting your generation. In a bid to avoid ambition, don't become a mediocre. If you become a mediocre, you will not only remain irrelevant in God's agenda, but kingdom will not thrive in your hands. You need to know the difference. When we talk about ambition, we are talking about a quest to advance your interest and your interest alone. It is self-centeredness that we call ambition. But when we are talking kingdom influence, we are talking the ability to take the resources of God and the kingdom to advance God's kingdom. Not just your personal ambition. Not just your personal agenda. And God is looking for influential men. This is why you must embrace this teaching tonight and apply everything you will learn, so that in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, much of the things that will happen in the kingdom in Africa and in the rest of the world, your signature will be on it. Yes, it's very important. He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
He's the Lamb of God.
He's the Lamb of God
who sits upon the throne. He alone,
He alone is worthy of our praise. You may be seated. Now, very quickly, what is influence? Number one, influence is simply, the art of being relevant. That's all its influence is about. The act of what? Being relevant. You are relevant and indispensable. Things don't work unless you are around. You have a part to play, so much so that when things are working, they are working because you had your input there. That's what influence is about. Now, because of my teaching tonight, I will break it down into four categories. Number one, influence simply means to be relevant with God. That means whatever God is doing in a sphere where you are present, you are part of it. Not because God's sovereignty diminishes in any way, but because you have prepared yourself enough that God cannot overlook you. Because you have built yourself up enough that God cannot bypass you. If God wants to do it, He will look for you. The Bible said concerning Abraham, God Himself was speaking in Genesis 18. And He said, shall I do a thing without consulting my servant Abraham? That is influence. When heaven has an agenda, your name is part of that agenda. In Genesis 32 verse 28, the Bible was speaking and it said concerning Jacob, it said, your name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. So what is influence number one? Is to have power with God. Is to be relevant in God's agenda. Listen, there are many people walking on the face of the earth today. Heaven is not aware that they are here. Because they don't play any part in what God is doing. God can fulfill an agenda for a whole dispensation and a whole generation. They are not aware God is doing anything. Because they are not relevant in God's agenda. And so the first definition of influence is to be relevant with God. Is to have power with God. I told somebody, don't be popular among men and not be popular in the spirit realm. Let your name be heard in heaven. When the angel came to salute Mary, he said, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are thou among women. So there are many women, but you stand out. There are many women on the face of the earth, you stand out. There are many virgins, you stand out. There are men who have power with God. There are men that heaven is watching over. There are men that the jealousy of God is upon. For such men to die, God can give up a nation. For such men to die, God can bypass a million people to reach out to them. Because their existence is not about breath on their nostrils. They represent God's agenda on the face of the earth. There are many revivers that will die if certain men die. And so those men represent that move of God. How many of you read about Simeon in Luke chapter 2? The Bible said this guy was tired of living, but he couldn't die. He literally prayed to die, but he will not die. You know why? If he dies, Jesus won't come. Because he was the only ranking intercessor at the time that was preparing the womb of the Spirit for the unveiling of the Christ. Immediately Jesus was presented in the temple. His prayer was not, thank God that I have achieved something. He said, now my soul can depart in peace. For my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. So salvation came because Simeon was on the altar. Even if Simeon went to heaven, God will send him back. If you leave earth, who can bet Christ? The virgin is not the mother. She's just a container through which Christ came. You are the intercessor that will create the protocol of incarnation. Incarnation is a spiritual protocol. Incarnation is not a biological protocol. We need a virgin to avail her womb, but there is an intercessor that must pay the price for God to become man. That kind of man cannot die. The guy wanted to die, but he couldn't. There are men that can beat their chest and tell you, God knows I'm important. It's not pride, but it's because of what Himself said. He said, as a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. This is not a man talking out of loftiness. This is breaking news from heaven. Christianity is an operation, a game of influence. I tell you, life itself is a politics of spirits. There are spirits trying to advance different agendas and purposes on the face of the earth. But they know that the heavens belong to God. But the earth has He given to the sons of men. So they are looking for the men that have the stature, the men that have the requisite alignment to be able to trap those purposes and to give them expression on the face of the earth. One of such men is equivalent to 1,000 men. Why do you think Sodom and Gomorrah can be burnt up and one man can be interceding for that nation? One man can be interceding, can be as big as a nation and say, what if you find 50 righteous men? You know why? 50 righteous men is equivalent to 10 million men that are not righteous. So the guy was trying to argue a case before God. I know in the cadres of heaven, one righteous man is equivalent to a million of righteous men. What if you find 50 righteous men? And God said, I will spare that city, not because of the population, but because of 50. And the guy bargained the thing till 10. What if you find 10 righteous men? So 10 righteous men are greater in the eyes of God than a whole city. And what is righteousness? It's not just the nature. Is the ability to stand in God's presence. Is the ability to advance God's agenda. So if you find 10 men in a nation who can advance God's agenda, they are more than the whole population. It's in the eyes of men that number counts. In the spirit, they are talking stature. Stature. Who are you before God? Where are you standing in the courts of heaven? That's what spirits are concerned about. What can be communicated to you? What can be handed over to you? What can be committed to you? That's what influence is about. Is to be relevant with God. Influence is to have power with God. Listen, in salvation we are the same, but in kingdom we are not the same. Make no mistakes about it. There are men who can speak and a nation can open. In the agenda of God, those men are more than a million people because they represent God's agenda in a nation. That's how spirits work. And so the first definition of influence is to be relevant with God. Listen, don't allow your Christianity to become about church attendance. Don't allow your Christianity to become about a denomination. I belong to this church. I belong to that church. People are fighting themselves because of denomination. And heaven don't know they are present. They will kill because of their pastor. Kill because of their denomination. But nothing is committed to them from heaven. Don't allow your Christianity be reduced to religion and religious practices. You must insist that you too, you are relevant with God and in God's agenda. What is influence number two? Is the ability to impact men and to transform their lives. Do you see why the world system considers the church almost to be a nuisance? Because as far as they are concerned, we are just singing some hymns and praises and shouting up and down. They can't see our impact in the society. And so a generation must rise that have the power to create changes, physical and existential changes in society. That when you hear of a policy that resulted in advancement in society, they will trace it to a man that bears the name of the Lord. A generation must rise that has power to create possibilities that advances and improves society. Christianity is not just about singing hymns and praying. Christianity is about affecting and transforming a civilization. Jesus was speaking and he didn't say you are the light of heaven. The Holy Ghost is the light of heaven. He said you are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. So our signature must also reflect in our societies. When they say a governor created a system that improved the economy, let that governor's name also be Nathaniel. Let it be Peter. Let it be James. Let it be John. And so when they ask him, how did this happen? He will say, the Bible said, when a righteous man rule, the people rejoice. And then you can say that Christianity too is relevant. But today, our senators are interested in going to Dubai. Because they were not taught kingdom perspective as touching influence. They think influence is about a title. I am senator and so what? I am minister and so what? Where are the lives you are transforming? It's only psychopaths that can ring round around you and celebrate you. Those who know the relevance and the significance of things, when they look at you, they will abhor your existence because you don't know the purpose of the mantle you carry. Your senatorial position means nothing. Your ministerial position means nothing. If it does not put food on the table of the poor man, if it does not create policies that advance good and improve society, if at the end of your 8 years of being a senator, all you came out of the chamber with was a title, you never existed. You were a dead man walking. The ability to transform society is what influence is about. And the reason the grace of God lifts men is not so that they have position that they brag about. The reason the grace of God lifts men is so that they can handle mantles, enter positions that give them authority to change society. And so today, if we count senators, we should stop counting titles, but count their impact in society. Every man must show his imprint in society. And it's not just senators, it's also Christians, it's also pastors, it's also apostles and it's also prophets. You have been in this city for 20 years. Where is the road you have done? At least there should be one street that it is said that you created this road so that people can pass. It's not just for everybody bowing to you and calling you bishop or prophet. No, that's not what Christianity is. Society must feel the impact of your presence. What is the community development that is blessed to you because you are there? 200,000, 300,000, 500,000 people are coming to church, but we can't see jobs. We can't see orphanages that are impacted. We can't see roads that are improved. We can't see electricity improved. Then why are you there? What does it mean to be the light of the world? It's not only to preach Christ, it's also to influence society. By the time we take our position in improving society, you will see that society will have no choice but to respect our Jesus, to respect our belief system, and then we know that we shape economy, we shape civilization. Today, I can tell you, many nations of the world have their ideologies built on the laws of Moses. That's how it started. Christianity came to shape society. The Lord told Moses, he said, teach them laws, teach them ordinances, teach them precepts, teach them things that can shape society so that they are not irrelevant where they are. Today, a governor who is a thief can come to a church and we are just happy because he has title of governor, whereas he's bringing reproach to the name of God. What is the big deal about you being governor if we cannot see the impact in society? We must stop celebrating criminals. And when we stand on the altar, we tell them, go back and improve the economy of your society. Go back and pay people their salaries. Go back and improve the road. Improve electricity. That's why we are their prophets. We are not their prophets to take seeds from them. We are their prophets to teach them the ordinances of God, so that at the end of the day, their existence will count when the stories of men are told. And if they get to heaven, they will thank us for telling them the truth to the face. I wonder the kind of mentality we have as Christians. We don't take any responsibility for society. We think Christianity is all about church and church attendance, and then no improvement. Listen, for those of you who are not in power, there is something you can do for society. On your birthday, instead of going to the beach, go to an orphanage. Buy food for somebody to eat. If that's the only thing you have done, you have impacted society. At least one soul will say, I ate today because of you. You don't have to be a senator or a governor to impact society. Someday, gather people together with the grass on the street if you cannot tie the road. Let it be recorded that
that threat, sanity came because you were there. If we don't see ourselves as the salt of the earth and as the light of the world, we will not go far. Our faith will not be considered relevant. And so as a church and as individuals in authority, we must begin to take responsibility. And that's why I am very happy and very proud of some of the fathers of faith we have in Nigeria. Some of them are not just preaching and prophesying. They are taking responsibility. The other time I heard that W.F. Kumuye tied a road of about 1,000-something meters. I said, this is Christianity. These are people to learn from. The other time I heard that E.A. Adeboye, he built over how many orphanages are forgotten. And he's been pumping money there consistently. They may not think it, but those who are blessed know. And that is what Christianity is about. This emerging generation must understand that influence is not for people to know that you too, you are a deep preacher. You must understand that Christianity is not just to come to God every day and say, I receive. Christianity must become relevant. And it must become relevant to our present society. Take responsibility from where you are and God begins to enlarge you. If your life does not impact and transform men, you don't know what Christianity is about. Christianity is not a religion, but there's a religion in Christianity. And what does the Bible call that religion? It says to remember the widow. It's to remember the orphans. When was the last time you remembered the poor around you? When was the last time you remembered the orphan? And you are hoping that God will make you president. God will make you influential. What will be the purpose if it's all about food to eat? Your life is bigger than what you eat. Your life is bigger than food. Your life is bigger than what to wear. There is the society waiting for you. That's why the grace of God is on your life. Because when you meet people, you change their story. When you meet people, you give them a reason to know that God is good. James said, if a man comes to you and is hungry, he said, what is the benefit it is to that man if you tell him the Lord be with you, if you don't give him what to eat? Christians are growing very, very irresponsibly. And that's why even the ones that are in power don't know that they are supposed to be there as an example. What a shame that we have more than 50 senators and it doesn't reflect in policies. What a shame that we have more than 50 senators. It doesn't reflect in advancement in society. What a shame that we have more than 20 governors, but society is still crying. And then you ask yourself, who are those leaders? Didn't they come from churches? Didn't they pass through churches? What were they taught? How come this scepter has no impact? When they leave offices, they are probing them to recover monies that they dumped in different nations, cars that they hid in forests. That's what they are recovering every day. And they bear the name of the Lord, quoting scriptures every day. But they don't know why they were exalted. If Christians truly become Christians, the world will beg us to rule them. Because they will know if we come, answer has come. It is written about me to do your will, O God. Come in the volume of the book. It is written about me to do your will, O God. I come in the volumes. It was written about me to do your will, O God. I come in the volumes. I come in the volumes. Listen, don't just be inspired by men who pray. Be inspired by men who improve society. Because to a very large extent, the quality of your Christianity will reflect in the impact it has on society. The other time, I saw God's servant, Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche, during a Christmas celebration,
and they brought bags of rice in a truck or something, and himself was sharing it with his wife. And I looked at it, I said, And the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is true Christianity. Don't only prophesy to people. Some of them need food to eat. Some of them need hospital bills paid. Some of them need school fees paid. He said, that's part of Christianity. He said, learn from such people. That's how you become relevant. Because when you attend to the needs of people, you become the answer to their prayer. Most of the answers that go to heaven, they don't come from heaven. The answers come from men. Because every one of us walking on the earth, we are answers to different prayers, depending on the capacity God has given us. A brother came to me the other day in the office, and he wanted me to pray for him. And he told me something that blessed me so much. He said, many times, God will give him money, he gets money, and God will tell him, give to this person, give to this organization. And as he's passing, his spirit will become restless until he does it. And one day he asked God, why do you keep giving me money and you won't let me attend to my own needs? And God told him, you are a trust fund. He said, every time I give you money, I make you an answer to somebody's prayer. They were waiting for an angel to appear. You are the angel that appeared. And so every time you do what you do, you become an answer to somebody's prayer. You are the reason they believe that God is real. Because when they were praying for food, they didn't know how it would come. But after they prayed, you showed up with food. You proved to them that God still answers prayer. And so your existence becomes relevant not only to God, but also to men. Influence. The ability to impact men and to transform their lives. Number three, what is influence? Influence is the ability to speak and things happen. The ability to change status quo. The ability to cause doors to open. The ability to change the face of systems and territories. This one is a higher order of influence. You cannot walk in this one until you are in a position of power. Do you see why the anointing exhorts men? Do you see why God uses all forms of grace to exhort men? Because there is so little we can do until we have men in power whom, when they speak, things can change. Hope you know we are where we are, and people are weeping today because one man made a statement and it impacted the whole nation. That's called influence. Now imagine if the person who made that statement made it with the consciousness of mercy, made it with the consciousness of compassion, made it with the consciousness of justice. Imagine if we had people in authority that are not just guided and conscious of the power they have, but they understand the nature of Christ, of mercy, of compassion. Imagine if we had such people in power, society would be a better place. And so the third definition of influence is to have a place in the corridor of power. Listen, this is why most of you will become governors. This is why most of you will become senators. This is why most of you will become military generals. This is why most of you will become giants in the tech industry. Most of you will become giants in the economic industry. Because what we will pray for 6 months, if we had somebody in the presidency, he will answer in a minute. The reason sometimes we pray and pray and pray is because we don't have anybody in the corridor of power. There are certain prayers that are not necessary if men were to be in power. Imagine a church going for a vigil, praying for 6 months for one policy to be changed. If the Senate president is of the kingdom, he can just talk to a few senators and they can just have one meeting and change it and hit that thing and pop, everything is over. If there's any time when the church needs men in power, it's today. Because we are approaching the end of days and the devil is very skillful in raising his own ambassadors. It's only the church that thinks it's all about prayer and fasting. There are many things that are not meant to be answered by prayer and fasting. They are meant to be answered by governors. They are meant to be answered by presidents. They are meant to be answered by billionaires. Some things only billionaires can answer them.
I'm telling you, only billionaires. There are certain answers that only billionaires can answer them. If you like, pray for 1 year. If no billionaire rises, it will never be done. There are certain things that only presidents can answer them. If you don't have the ear of the president, it will never be answered. And so instead of praying and praying for 8 months, for 9 months, let one president rise from our midst. Let one governor rise from our midst. You know why? Because God does not violate the will of people. It's something that takes sovereignty to happen. And that's why many times, if you are praying a prayer that is dependent on another man's will, it takes time. Because it is not in God's disposition to keep changing men's will. He didn't build robots, He built men. And so, in order not to always trouble God's sovereignty, let such people begin to emerge from our midst. If we have a governor, we can tell him, in this state, people are suffering. Pay their salary. We wouldn't need 5 churches, 10 churches, 20 churches praying for 6 months, and salary is not paid. And so, when the church becomes influential, men occupy positions of power. Positions of power. Positions of power. Positions of power. See, those of you that God is sending out there, become happy about it and give your all. You know the problem of the church? When a young man catches fire, the next thing, they ordain him as an apostle. They ordain him as a prophet. Most of our politicians are carrying collar and they are not meant to be on the altar. And that's why when they come here, instead of preaching Christ, they are doing politics. Most of our businessmen are wearing collar, bearing the title of prophet. Oh God, go to the market and make money. That's where God sent you. Your grace, your skill, and your ability is in the market. The fire is not to preach from the altar. The fire is to take over the stock market. The fire is to take over the political corridor. The fire is to take over the military. That's why God put fire on your life. You may see 10 angels. It doesn't mean you are a prophet, sir. It means you are a skillful and highly inspired businessman. It means when you go to the stock market, you don't only read the chart, you also read the handwriting in the spirit. That's why the angels came, to give you an edge in the market. So don't allow yourself be dislocated because you are on fire. You can pray in tongues for 10 hours and be a senator. You can pray in tongues for 10 hours and be a businessman, because they are not only apostles on the altar, they are also apostles in the market. But you go there with the consciousness of the kingdom. You go there with the understanding that you are an ambassador. We think everybody in government is Kana, and politics is for Kana men. That's why some even refuse to associate with government. They say, no, it's a dirty game. It's dirty because the people playing it are dirty. If clean men enter there, it will become clean. Tell somebody, I'm about to emerge. I'm about to explode. The man you are sitting next to is a big man. Look at me where. I'm about to change levels. Hey! Barakabata! Verekondo! Yela kabayata! You don't know these things. You won't even know what to receive when the anointing is moving. You find Christians, every Christian is praying for fire, to pray in tongues for 3 days non-stop. Oga, if you are a politician, what you need is not 3 days tongues non-stop. It's wisdom, it's favor to ascend the corridor of power. You need skill, you need utterance. So why the intercessor is praying for 3 days? Pray for a few hours. When you receive signal, move and go to your place of primary assignment. Go to your place of primary assignment and take over. When a man of God is laying hands on people, don't say, oh, I'm looking for the healing anointing. You don't need it, sir. What you need is the anointing to explain difficult problems. What you need is the anointing to communicate mysteries. What you need is the anointing to understand and to predict the stock market. What you need is the anointing to be loved and accepted by anybody that sees you. Because why one is praying for the leper, another one is praying for the stock market, another one is trying to change the fortune of a nation. All of us need different things. So if the man of God who is praying for you, if he has speed, the speed you are looking for is not ministry. The speed you are looking for is to start a business in 1 month, and that business is in 10 nations in 3 months. That's the speed you are looking for. The speed you are looking for is everything you are doing to be lost abroad, so that they will know that you are the person with the best sugar in the market. You are the person with the best cement in the market. You are the person with the best jewelry. That's the speed you are looking for. All of us will not pray for the sick in a miracle service. Some of us will need to become masters in real estate, masters in politics. That's what we need. Please sit down for a moment. Don't come here and say, I want to wear suit like Apostle Mike and preach like Apostle. You don't need me, sir. You need this anointing to take over the market. You will never wear suit. What you need is jeans and t-shirt, so that you labor in the market. So when I'm talking, you are not moved about it. You don't even care what I'm wearing. You are looking for wisdom. The way this man can teach Bible, let that same wisdom come upon me, so that I can predict the stock market. That's your own wisdom. That's what you need. How come this young man, his name is all over the place? Ah, I'm standing cement. My own cement too must be everywhere. That's what you receive. You receive based on your calling. Are you following? Don't be ordained because you're on fire. Don't become a prophet because you're on fire. That fire may be meant to be able to sell sugar. It may be for selling cement. It may be for selling buildings. That's what that fire is meant for. At the end of the day, all of us are collectively advancing God's kingdom. Influence. Praise God. Praise God. And finally, what is influence? The ability to make men glorify God because of you. Galatians chapter 1 verse 23 and 24. When Paul's name became all over the place, Galatians 1, 23 and 24, Paul said, so much influence was put upon his life, and every church began to talk about him. Oh, this is the man in time past that persecuted the church. And he said, but now he's preaching the same Christ that he once persecuted. And he said, all the churches glorified God because of me. Do you know how many people will repent today if they see mercy sit in public or international television and say, everything I've become is by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? Everybody will want to know that Holy Ghost. That's the power of influence. Do you know what it means if a Cristiano Ronaldo was taught kingdom and he stands up today and tells you, yes, I work hard, but you see, God favored me and lifted me up. Do you know how many millions we want to know that God? But you see, we didn't teach men what influence represented. We taught them that influence is only popularity. That popularity has a purpose. It's not only pastors that make men to glorify God. Even the footballer, the businessman, can cause men to glorify God if he understands what influence is from a kingdom perspective. And so, number one, influence is to be relevant with God or to have power with God. Number two, influence
is to what? How many of you are following? It's the ability to impact men and to transform their lives. Number three, influence is to be in the place of authority where you can change things. Not just because you pray, but because when you talk, your word is law. And number four, influence is the ability to cause men to glorify God. Why influence? I've mentioned part of it already. Spirits are interested in influential men. That's why you must be influential. In the world of spirits, influential men have stakes there. Why do you think of all the men in Egypt, even Joseph, who was a prophet, God didn't give him the dream? God gave Pharaoh the dream. Because if Joseph dreams, it will mean nothing. He is the prophet, but hear me, the dream of Joseph will mean nothing. It will be for the prisoners. So God knew, even though Joseph was the prophet, God gave the dream to Pharaoh and started troubling Pharaoh. Because anything Pharaoh does can impact on the economy. So even the prophet will come out of prison because Pharaoh dreamt. So spirits are not just interested in everybody. Yes, they can help everybody, but they are interested in those who have grown in the ranks, because their life has implication in society. That's why you cannot allow yourself to be a mediocre. Sir, God loves all of us. God is helping all of us. But God is not using all of us at the same level. If God wants to do something in America now, he won't talk to me, sir. No matter the mysteries I know, I have no stake there. You know who God will look for? He will look for Biden. Even though he may not pray in tongues. Because if he gets him, the whole nation will be affected. So, rising into relevance is part of spirituality. There are those God meets at the grassroots. There are those he meets on top. Do you know what God called Cyrus? You need to understand how spirits work. In Isaiah 45 verse 1 and 2, God was calling a hidden king by anointed one. Hear what the Lord said. The Lord said to his anointed, to Cyrus, this is a hidden king. But the man is a king. When God works with him, a nation will be arrested. How many poor men have you seen in the Bible who don't know God? And the Bible said, my anointed one. Which anoint what? What you need is deliverance. But when you are a king, even if you don't know God, God will know you. Because of his agenda. To Cyrus, my anointed one. This is why you cannot lie down. See, there are many young people. They go to a prayer place. They are there 7 years. Ibeke, Iroko, Ibala, Iba. See, if it is God that sent you there, go there. But don't look at somebody and the person tells you, I've been praying for 15 years. And you too shut your life down and say, I'm going to pray for 15. That person is an intercessor. His job is to hide and pray. You are a politician. By the time you come out of that mountain, you are 45. You will not be relevant in the politics of your nation. And when God shows up, the one who went doing politics that you call the rogue, the one who went doing politics that you call the sinner, God will now come and say, my anointed man, the governor. You will say, Lord, I've been praying here for 20 years for the anointing. Yes, you are anointed, but you are for one family. Go and do family deliverance. We are looking for men who can affect a nation, and you are not there. Christianity is not mediocrity. Make no mistakes about this. This is why when God begins to stir you to greatness, don't kill it. Don't kill it. Don't kill it. You will hate yourself in the latter days. He gave a dream to Pharaoh, Genesis 45, verse 1 and 25. He called Cyrus his king. His anointed one, because
he was influential. In fact, if you check chapter 44, the last verse, he called him a shepherd, a hidden king. Isaiah 44, I think verse 24, he called a hidden king a shepherd. And then in 45 verse 1, he called the hidden king my anointed one. Why did he call him his anointed one? Look at 45 verse 1. It's not because he was praying. It's not because he was fasting. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with prayer and fasting. See why he called him his anointed one. He said, whose right hand I have holding to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings. And I will open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall be shut, shall not be shut. If God holds your hand, can he subdue nations? If God holds your hands, can he loose the loins of kings? If God holds your hands, the only people he can address are the poor people in your neighborhood. They are important, but God is thinking nations. And so at one level, he will relate with you because he's the father of all flesh. But at another level, he will look for the man that if he holds, he can shake America. If he holds, he can shake UK. If he holds, can I tell you something? There are many angels now trying to convert Elon Musk. Much more than there are those converting some prophets now. Because those guys are captains of the last day innovation. Anything they do can shift a generation. So God can afford to mobilize 1,000 angels to get Elon Musk saved, 1,000 intercessors to pray his salvation, than he will for the guy who is just strolling on the street. You know why? That guy too, God needs him. God loves him. But one can change a generation. You cannot allow yourself be irrelevant because you are being spiritual. It's an error that you will regret. Why is influence important? Spirits are interested in influential people. You see one young boy in the studio learning to rap, learning to sing. The devil now sees that, okay, this guy understands the game of influence. He now sends some demons to give him inspiration. And the boy is growing. Suddenly, the boy has 40 million followers. And the devil will come and open doors for him. Because he knows that boy has the power to determine the direction of the youth of that generation. That boy is more relevant in the equation of spirits than somebody else who is with 50 people and saying, well, we don't care. We are just here. It's humble beginning. Tell yourself, I will not be a mediocre. Glory to God. Why influence? Only influential people can be entrusted with agenda. Agendas that are eternal. Only influential people. Does it not surprise you? Look around you for a second. All the men who have bodies and are going from one nation to another nation to preach the gospel, you think they are the only ones who love souls? Do you think so? You see, somebody today is in Zambia. Tomorrow he's in UK. Next tomorrow he's in America. Next tomorrow he's in Pakistan. Next tomorrow he's in Ghana. Next tomorrow, do you think they are the only one who loves souls? There are many other believers that love souls more than them. But God can't entrust that mandate to them because even if they love souls, they don't have the capacity to go there. I can tell you now that there are certain persons that since January, they have been praying for the salvation of the nations. And that's beautiful. They are ranking men before God. Intercessors are very important. Don't get me wrong. But no matter how they pray, God can't tell them to go to UK because they don't have flight fare. You look at Rehard Bonke. He came to Africa. He said Africa was spared with the blood of Jesus.
He was here for more than 30 years. Nobody knew about him. But he understood how this thing worked. He was building influence. The moment he became influential, even presidents started sponsoring the agenda. Not because they are part of it, but everybody wants to associate with an influential man. I heard a story. He said when he wanted to do his crusade in Ibadan, he said at night, somebody knocked on the door. Who was it? It was the president of Nigeria, a military officer. Came at night with bags of money. He was not a Christian, a Muslim. And said, take for your crusade. And then you stand up. You say, man, the guy was anointed. There are many people who are more anointed than the donkey. But it took influence for him to sweep to Africa. It took influence. And he built it over the years. Because he knew the relevance. He said something. He said his visa expired. And they wouldn't let him come into the country. And he needed to organize a crusade. And then somebody came to him. And told him that President Obasanjo then was in prison. That he was about to be released. And he would be the next president of the country. And they wanted him to pray for him. He said, why not? Right away. And he called and prayed for him. 1 month later, news came again that Obasanjo had become president. And he called him immediately. Your Excellency, I need visa to Nigeria. He said, you need visa. They sent a private jet to pick him. They gave him visa in Nigeria. You don't need visa to Nigeria. You need visa in Nigeria. You stand up. You say, they anointed. They anointed. The reason they entered nations was because they could call presidents directly. Not just because they were anointed. You are here. You are ignoring influence. You are not learning anything about influence. You say it's ambition. I'm a spiritual man. I'm a pious man. I'm a humble man. You will remain humble for a lifetime. And you will see those who master this shaking their world. And you will know you have made a mistake. God is connecting you with senators, connecting you with ministers, connecting you with presidents. And you say, no, some of us, we are prophets in the woods. We remain in the wilderness. We are John the Baptist. You are John the Baptist? Hope you know that his head was cut off. Somebody shout! Don't take these things for granted. So that when God begins to speak to you, you will not lack the ability to deliver. Build so much influence that when God tells you, I want something done in America, you say, give the command. Just speak the word only. We know what to do. Be so influential that God said, I need something done in the Senate chamber. You say, give the command. You can sit in one place and call 5 senators. I say, what is this thing I'm hearing? What can be done about it? Change it. That's kingdom. It's not carnality. It's the art of dominion. You will become influential. Hallelujah. Praise God. How does influence impact kingdom? Which is the third why of influence. Does it not surprise you that there was no agenda of God in Egypt until Joseph became influential? God had a plan for Egypt, but that agenda remained dormant until somebody rose that had a relationship with the king. Genesis 46, verse 29. Joseph, even when Israel came into Egypt, he was the one that negotiated for Israel to be put in Goshen. So 3 things you learn from the life of Joseph is that, number 1, God didn't have an agenda in Egypt after Moses until Joseph rose. So it takes influence for divine agenda to enter a territory. Number 2, Israel did not have a place in Egypt until Joseph negotiated Goshen for them. That means the church and the move of God will not have a place until an influential man gives it a place. Number 3, Exodus chapter 1 verse 8, Israel began to suffer the moment a Pharaoh rose that didn't know Joseph.
So the shape, the hope, and the experience of the church is at the mercy of the influential men in the church. It's not like they loved Israel in Egypt, but so long as they remember Joseph, they have no choice. The moment the memory of Joseph was wiped off, Israel's status changed. They moved from becoming legal residents to becoming slaves. That's why influence is too important. God can't have an agenda. The church cannot thrive except they are influential men. So don't despise those whom God has exalted. They are also apostles, but in different corridors. Honor them as you would honor a preacher. That's why the Bible admonished that we pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy 2:1-8. It says, lift up holy hands and pray for them that you may live a peaceable life. So while God is raising you in influence, make sure you intercede for those who are in influence to be in their right senses and also to walk in the favor of the church. Number two, Nehemiah. The walls of Jerusalem were desolate. No prayer could raise it. I'm not undermining the place of prayer. I've taught on prayer extensively. But I'm telling you that different things have different ways of answering them. The walls were put down. Men were running from Jerusalem. Jerusalem became a defenseless territory. With all the prayers, all the prophecies, and all the promises, those walls could not stand. Until a man that walked in the courts of the king became troubled. Do you know that just because the countenance of Nehemiah changed, it translated to the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem? That means Nehemiah's countenance is more important than the prayer of 1,000 intercessors. The king looked at him and said, why is your countenance down? Why are you like this? And he said, how can I be happy when the walls of my father's land is desolate? Immediately the king rose up and began to sign documents for woods to be provided, for security to be provided. And do you know what the king said later? In Ezra chapter 1 verse 2, the king began to speak and hear what the king said. This is a king that was taking action before Nehemiah. He said, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven had given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So suddenly, what began with the weeping of Nehemiah became the calling of the king. It was not the prayer of intercessors. It took the proximity of a man to a king to change the fortune of the whole church. The walls were desolate. The intercessors were praying, the prophecies were hanging, the promises were there, but the walls wouldn't rise until an influential man stepped into the scene. How about the story of Esther? There was a verdict that Israel should be wiped out. And after Mordecai prayed, this is a prophet and an intercessor. After he prayed, he discovered that, my brother, this thing is beyond intercessors. This is not about quorum anymore. Let's look for somebody that has the ear of the king. And he went to Esther and said, you cannot hold your peace at this time. You know why? Because one speech from you is superior to 10 years of prayer from us. You can't hold your peace. And he told her, it is for this reason that God raised you at such a time as this. Esther did not despise prayer, but she also knew somebody has to talk to the king. And Esther said, go and pray for me. Esther 4:16. Take a 3 days fast. Me too, I will fast. When she was done praying, she didn't stop there. She took her scepter of influence and she went into the court of the king. Mordecai can't go that far. The intercessors of Israel could not go that far. And Esther came. All she needed to do was to stand. And all the favor that belonged to Israel, God put it on one woman. Because that one woman represented the whole of Israel. A decree has already been passed. This is a king that will not change his word. His first wife disobeyed and immediately he dethroned her and he never changed his mind. Because in those days, when a king changes his mind, it is considered weakness. That's why when the king gave commandment that the head of John should be cut off, he paid him, but he couldn't change his mind. But this is somebody that had so much influence with the king. The moment favor was put on her, before she spoke, the king said, whatever you want, I will give you. Even if it is up to half of my kingdom. And the lady did not have too much demand. My people should not be wiped out. And a decree was reversed. It was not only reversed. The enemy of Israel was hung where she planned for Mordecai to be hanged. You take influence for granted, the church will suffer. Take influence for granted, the body of Christ will go backward. Take influence for granted, the revival will be stopped. Look at Rwanda, for example. The president stood up and said, if you don't have a theology certificate, your church is closed. So if you like, be the prophet that God is speaking to about revival. Your message has ended. Your message, if you like, let an archangel appear to you and say you are the next apostle of Rwanda. If you don't have a theology certificate, that revival will wait until you go back to university. Because a man in the corridor of power made a statement, and there is nothing you can do about it. So revival, imagine if the people God gave the mandate for revival are people like us who don't have theology certificate. You stood up and say, there will be revival in this nation in the next 2 years. And then you gather 1,000 intercessors, you are praying. The president say, if you don't have theology certificate, if you come there, you will go to jail. All the intercessors will respectfully go home and pray from their houses. God will have to use another channel because they are sovereign. That's the power. The power of influence. That's why every sector of society, we must have a man there. Every corridor of power, we must have a man there. This is not carnality. This is kingdom advancement. So why some of us are fighting from the altar? Others are fighting with governmental sector. Others are fighting with economic sector. Others are fighting with media sector. That's when the quorum will be complete. The quorum is not complete just because all the intercessors are gathered. The quorum is complete when all the apostles in all the sectors are playing their part. Influence. How about Jesus? After Jesus died, and Jesus was brought down from the cross, all his disciples who were willing to die for him were stranded. Only God knows what would have happened to the body of Jesus. Meanwhile, the resurrected body of Jesus is the proof that Christianity is not a lie. But Jesus was brought down from the cross. There was no tomb to bury him. And suddenly, in John 19:38 to 42, the Bible said a secret disciple of Jesus showed up. His name is called Joseph of Arimathea. That one is for those who have access to corridors of power. The Sabbath day was by the corner. If they don't have a tomb, they may have to take his body outside the city and throw it away. What would have been of the resurrection? Imagine the body of Christ would have been thrown away because they can't keep that body until the Sabbath day. But a man of influence rose up and said, don't worry, give me a moment. And he made a phone call. Hello, how are you doing? I need a tomb. This one is not prayer, it's call. His phone call, and instantly they gave him a tomb that nobody had been buried in. And Jesus's body was prepared with the honor and the dignity that he required. Have you not seen many divine agenda that are either frustrated or humiliated just because there's no influential man? God sends you to a city, you come to that city, they throw you out, throw the equipment outside because nobody can speak. I understood the place of influence. There was a day I needed to go preach somewhere in Lagos. I was in a meeting in Calabar. I finished that meeting. The flight they booked for me suddenly was cancelled by an airline that is used to canceling flights. And that was the only option we had. And so the only thing we could do was to book another flight in Akwa Ibom. And because the flight was 2 hours away,
I was forced to use a speedboat. I carried life jacket and we hung on the speedboat, speaking in tongues. If we capsize here, unless God sends angels, what am I doing on a speedboat? The guy will navigate. If I say, oh God, if we fall here, you go down. Apostle hung on a speedboat with life jacket, hoping not to fall in the water. As we arrived at Akwa Ibom, we entered. They said, no, check-in time has closed. Jesus, what do you mean? And I didn't know anybody in the airline. That's how our effort of flying a speedboat there became useless. We stood, we were looking at the plane. They said it was airborne. If we knew somebody, it would have been a phone call. There, you don't pray and fast. You make calls. Somebody would have called and said, open that plane. That man must be on that flight. But we didn't have that level of influence. The plane left. They now told us there's another flight in Port Harcourt that will leave in 3 hours. We checked our watch. Journey was over 2 hours. Pay for it. They paid for the flight. We started going. As we were driving, they said, wait. There's another flight leaving Akwa Ibom now to Abuja for 12. If we get to Abuja by 12, by 1, we can get another flight for 1:30 to Lagos. We paid for that one. We turned and came back. When we came back, they say, oh, this flight has been shifted to 4. I looked up and looked down. I say, what do we do? I have booked 4 flights. I will still miss the meeting. I have sat on a speedboat. I will still miss the meeting. And suddenly, I remember that not every prayer goes to heaven. Others go to men. And I remember that I had somebody. I carried the phone and called him. And I said, I am in Akwa Ibom. He said, wait. I just asked. They say you have missed your flight. Give me 5 minutes. I didn't need to talk. The guy made the phone call. In less than 10 minutes, they reached back to me. Please, sir, sit down, relax. A private jet is coming to pick you. Kaba, Raka, Takataya, Zeke, Takaparato, Ayaye. Sir, sit down, relax. Immediately, in the same airport that we were running about, what shall we do? They came to me and said, sir, are you Michael? I say, yes. I put myself together immediately. Yes, I am Michael. They said, please come with us. That was when I knew there was VIP there. I sat down, they said, do you want tea? They described, I said, bring tea, we need tea. Maya Katakaya Barakata Zegera Farato Avele Kazitaka. What are you talking about? They gave me a cup of hot tea. I crossed my leg and I sipped like a king. When I was done drinking, after 40 minutes, a private jet landed. Immediately the crew came. They started attending to us like kings. I squared my shoulder and walked into the car. What are you talking about? When I landed Lagos, I came out of the car. I saw SUVs, black heavy vehicles. Apostle, please. Why not? You know, in that kind of situation, you walk smartly. Open door, I entered. That was how they drove me to the hotel. I chilled, relaxed. 30 minutes later, they carried me to the meeting. I was to preach for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Do you know how God works? It was that 10 minutes preaching I preached that the woman of God, Pastor Mrs. Tara Omaku, heard me for the first time. And the day she invited me, come to my church and preach, I went there to preach. I left that service. She said, no, let's take an offering for this man. And they gathered 14 million naira for me. That's the money we used to pay for our first venue. If this one is not prayer, it's spiritual networking. Because influential men are positioned in strategic places. I don't know where you are, but the grace for influence will rest upon you from this meeting.
this. Nothing works without influence. Nothing. They will have an agenda that lives and destiny depends on, but the door may not open until an influential man rises and says, sir, you go and pray, leave this work for us. When God told me, go to the UK and set up an altar, I looked at it. I said, Lord, one naira is equal to £800. How do we enter there? While the moment we announced it, thinking on what to do, a woman called me. I said, sir, that venue you are using is not good. Allow me to pay for Wembley Arena. He said, it's £80,000 per use. I will pay for 2 days. I said, no, that's not the vision I saw. What I saw was a place where God will incubate on men. Maybe next year. You think you enter nations just because you are anointed? There are captains. There are mantle bearers. There are custodians that will hold hands with you for every divine agenda to be fulfilled. That's why God is raising influential men. And I prophesy over you, the grace to rise to power, it rests upon you now. Many things you see happening are happening because influential men are pushing it. They are pushing it from connections to policies to finances. That's why they are happening. Not just because we are anointed. And if an agenda will take over a generation, God will need to raise many of such. And you are one of the ones God is raising. Even the apostles recognized Barnabas as son of consolation, because they would have been stranded except as Barnabas had capacity to push the work through finances. Sit down for a moment. What are the principles for building influence? I told you this thing is not a gift. This thing is worked. It's not a gift. It is worked. If you find any influential man, he worked it deliberately. And there are three I will give you now. Number one is the principle of consecration and sanctification. There is nobody that rose to influence that didn't respect and obeyed the principle of consecration and sanctification. I don't like using people who are not rooted in the kingdom as an example. But in order to show you what I'm talking about, because it also has to do with society, let me give you an instance of some of the wealthy men in the world. The level of prices they paid to be where they are. I was telling them in the foundation school, I was watching a documentary on Elon Musk, and the guy was narrating the consecrations and the prices he paid to be where he was. And I told myself, the body of Christ have not yet understood what it takes to be mighty. Thank God for prophecies. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for the anointing. It doesn't stop there. You know what this guy said? He said at one point in his life, he was working for 22 hours every day. As in serious, rigorous work. 22 hours every day. Out of every 24 hours. He had a website that he hosted with his brother. He said because they didn't have money to rent an apartment, the money they had, they used it to pay for an office. And they were sleeping in the office and working in the office. It's not because he didn't know comfort and luxury, but he knew that at that phase there were prices he needed to pay. And so instead of paying for an apartment, he paid for an office. And the one computer they had, he said they will float the website in the day and then they will code at night. And so because of that, he was keeping a 22 hours work schedule. And you look at such people, you say they are intelligent, they are gifted. No, sir. They paid prices. They had consecrations that they didn't give up on. The guy said in that period, he had a girlfriend, which is why I hardly use this kind of people for an example. He said,
there was no time for holidays. There was no time for visitation. He said if the lady wanted to see him, because he's so busy in the daytime, it was only in the night she could visit. And she will visit him in the office. That's what it takes to be a billionaire. Today you find Christians, they say, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Were you intelligent before? You cannot be building Tesla. You cannot be building SpaceX and have time to go out with a girlfriend. That is how sold out he was to his vision. And the lady knew that this man has a vision. He's on a mission. If I must see him, I will be the one to come and see him in the little window he had available for me. 22 hours. And today, electric cars are being driven in almost every nation. Those cars came out of 22 hours of labor. It's not a gift. It was worked. Today, there is commercial space travel pioneered and sponsored by one man because of 22 hours of labor. This is not a man who speaks in tongues. You speak in tongues. You have the wisdom of God. You have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But you cannot affect your generation because you have time for too many things. We are busy here and there doing nothing. You need to spend time to study about this man to inspire yourself. You will know why without God they are shaking the world. Yes, demons help them and support them. But the place of diligence, hard work and consecration can never be taken away from any story of greatness. When they asked him, why do you work so hard? He said, I came to discover that the average man works for 40 to 45 hours in a week. He said, if I'm working for more than 100 hours in a week, what that man will achieve in December, I will achieve in April. I need to be ahead of my generation. That's how they think. They didn't come there because they were gifted. They came there because they paid prices. You say you are an apostle to the nations and you cannot remember 10 scriptures. There's no visible gift on your life because you can't pay the price of consecration. And you are thinking that one day the nations will open. You are joking. I was telling my intercessors recently, humorously, you have VG on Friday, the whole of Saturday you are sleeping. They ask you, say, man, we were in a VG yesterday. Which one is VG yesterday? You do VG once a week, you are sleeping the whole Saturday, you are joking. Go and ask those who are making global impact. There's no day I go to bed before 2 a.m. It's not possible. You can't catch me sleeping before 2 a.m. For what? You want to take your word? How can you be fresh? How can you be ahead of your generation if you are sleeping when they are sleeping? You wake up when they wake up. And then when you ask lazy men, they will go and say, well, the World Health Organization said you should sleep for 7 hours to be healthy. Go and ask those who are sleeping 7 hours. They have come into their rest. They sleep for 7 hours when they have 3 billion in their account. Check them out when they were laboring and rising. Go and read the story of Bill Gates. His friend said sometimes when you come to his office, the 2 hours break he has in the afternoon, he falls on his under his table, he's sleeping there because he's used to working all night and all day. These are not kingdom men. These are not anointed men. These are men who don't even have Christianity as their religion. These are men working so hard to bring about the agenda of darkness. Yet, they understand the place of diligence. You are here saying, the Holy Ghost is in me, I'm anointed, and you are lazing around, and you think you will take your word? No. You must pay the price of consecration. And there are 3 things about consecration. Number one, the first thing about consecration is to build your life around the demands of your calling. Consecration is not just to live holy. When it has to do with influence and impact, there are definite definitions you must understand.
You build your life around the demand of your calling. If you are called to leadership and governance, make sure that predominating your daily activity are activities that refines you in that direction. You must have heard every speech by every prominent president in the world. You must have read their biographies. You must have understood how they grew from one level to another. That's part of your consecration. Because your calling demands that you understand how that corridor works. Your consecration is not just praying in tongues and fasting. Your consecration is to be built around what your calling is. If you are called into the academia, make sure your consecration has to do with textbooks, laboratories. Because if you don't perfect that act, you will never be relevant there. Because in that corridor, they don't just respect you because you have title. They respect you because of what you have upstairs. You cannot say you are called to be a professor of medicine or a professor of engineering and you don't have your life around those books, those practicals, those experimentations, and you hope you succeed. If you are called into business, your consecration demands that you build your life around everything that has to do with business philosophies, business principles, and economic giants. You must be able to quote them. You must be able to understand their philosophies. You must be able to understand their stories and how they became what they are. If you will ever dream of rising to that level. That's the first thing about consecration. When I look at you and your life is scattered, and I cannot find your calling in your lifestyle, I know you are going nowhere. When you meet a prophet, his lifestyle should tell you he's a prophet before he introduces himself. When you meet a businessman, his lifestyle should tell you he's a businessman before he introduces himself. When you meet an intercessor, his lifestyle should tell you he's an intercessor before he introduces himself. You can't say you are an intercessor and you are all over the place going for every meeting, every birthday party, every crusade with everybody. You don't know what it means to be an intercessor. When you meet a psalmist, his lifestyle will tell you every day you see him is on earpiece. He's not worldly. It's called consecration. He's hearing songs. He's hearing sounds. He's making peace. He goes home. If you enter his parlor, you see a mini studio there. His goal is not to have executive chairs in the parlor. Everything around his life is music and music oriented. He can sleep in the studio. He's having a good time. He doesn't need a water bed. Many don't understand the demands of destiny. Listen, prayer is good, is generic. Study of the word is good, is generic. But in addition to all of that, your life must center around your calling. If you check me out, sir, all my friends, if not all, at least 80% are either pastors or they are burning for God because of where I'm going. All my mentors are ministers. That's why you hear me. I keep quoting Pastor Chris, quoting Andrew Omar, quoting David Oedeko. It doesn't mean they are the only people doing well, but I'm a preacher. So my whole life is built around them. If you are a businessman and you are quoting Catherine Kuma, you are not serious. You'll find every young lady, Catherine Kuma, Benny Hinn, are you a preacher? Yes, their life can inspire you. But you are going in the direction of business. How many messages have you heard from Cosmos Maduka? That's one man doing well who believes in God. You are here quoting Catherine Kuhlman and you know nothing about stock market. You are joking. You say you are a journalist and everybody you are hearing is somebody who is preaching only Bible. You have not followed people who have excelled in journalism to find out their speech, their intonation, their phonetics, their comportment, their research life. You think you go and preach in the hall of journalism, they will kick you out of there. You don't have place there. You need to understand that the first demand of consecration, if you want to be influential, is to build your life around your calling. We have unique callings. And our lives and our lifestyles must reflect the direction of our calling. What is the second definition or expression of consecration? Number two,
is your
ethics and your conduct. If you know you are going to become a global voice, after servicing the demand of your calling, you need to start living and behaving like where you are going. Don't live like your past, live like your future. If you know that you are going to address kings, check how you are dressing now. You say you want to address kings, you brush around 4 p.m. When you say my brother, they say God bless you. And you say you are going to address kings. You wake up, you are tattered. Your clothes are not ironed. You wear the same t-shirt you have been wearing for the past 1 week. And you say, well, we are called to address kings and monarchs and rulers. Kings will come to the brightest of our rising. If they come and your mouth is smelling, they will go. I'm telling you this because we have narrowed down consecration to praying for 10 hours. We think that's all there is about consecration. You are joking. Prayer is for everybody, but there are unique consecrations for specific callings. There are conducts and there are ethics for every job description and every calling. You must build yourself to begin to live like the future you dream of. I didn't start dressing corporate today. Ask those who know me. From primary school, anywhere, tell me, come, let's go to the market. I get my tie. I get my shirt. I tuck in, belt up, and I'm following you there. I knew it early and early in life. That's why many people are asleep until their purpose wakes them up and they appear stranded. Consecration. If we took a census here now and asked people, where do you think God is taking you? You will be shocked what they will say. Many people will tell you, God told me that I am to train presidents. You are to train presidents. How many books have you read on leadership? Well, the Holy Ghost told me, if the Holy Ghost talks to you, he will encourage you to read. Because to talk to presidents, you must have something here. The person who is called to talk to presidents, you will see him, his shirt is not ironed. Not because he doesn't have life. He's too careless to take care of himself. And it's a president who is taking care of a nation you want to train. Angels will look at you and laugh. I say, okay, maybe it's in the next life. You are called to train presidents and you are like this. How many presidents have you listened to know how they think? He has not had one. We use religion to cover for many things. And our failure reveals to us that what we know is not working. I'm telling you this because God wants to raise men in different sectors. The Holy Ghost has been troubling me. He said, I want to raise men in the economy. I want to raise men in government. I want to raise men in media. But they are not ready. Number three, what is consecration about? Is to obey the law God has given to you about your assignment. So number one, it entails servicing your purpose by building your life around your purpose. Number two, it entails sustaining ethics and conduct consistent with the direction you are going. And number three, it entails obeying the law, the unique and specific law God has given to you. This one is not a doctrine. It's for you and you alone. 10 apostles will stand here, but they will have different consecrations. Because one apostle is a prophetic apostle. His consecration will be in the direction of speaking sounds. Another apostle is a teaching priest. His consecration will be around study. Another apostle is a healing apostle. His consecration will be around power. Another apostle is a minstrel. His consecration will be around sound. No two persons will have the same identical consecrations. And so a man is consecrated when he becomes obedient to the laws God has given to him, unique for his calling and his purpose. Can I show you something? Mm-hmm. Elohim Adonai. Judges 13 verse 5. You look at the specific consecration of Samson. Quickly, my brothers and sisters. Judges 13 verse 5. It says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And he said, no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." If you wake up today and you say, "I'm not cutting my hair," you are a joker. For Samson, the law was what? Razor. The razor must not come on his head because it's a Nazarite. That consecration is not a doctrine. It's the unique demand that God gave him for his calling. There are many people God gave consecration. He told them, for the next 3 years, read a book per week. That's how they are following it. And every influential person has a consecration. Look at the life of Joseph. His consecration was purity. If you touch any woman, you are gone. And so when Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39 verse 9, threw herself at him, the guy said, "How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God?" He knew this was a consecration. For him, purity is not just something you do as a Christian. His life anchors on it. If you look at the life of Esther, her consecration was fasting. "Take a 3 days fast for me. Take a 3 days fast." These people understood their consecration. If you look at Daniel, his consecration was prayer. He said 3 times a day, Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem. If Daniel does not sin, pray is a sin. Samuel said, "I will not sin against God by not praying for you." Praying for people is a sign of maturity. It's not supposed to be a sin. But for Samuel, because of his calling, if he fails to pray for Israel, it becomes a sin. It's a unique consecration. When a man begins to journey into influence, the first thing he will discover is the consecration the Holy Ghost will begin to give him. For some of you to be with your words, when you say certain things, the Holy Ghost will be so grieved that you will have to repent and sometimes take a penance before you sense peace. Because where God is taking you to, there is so much authority on your speech. And so God will build a lot of laws around your speaking. Somebody else may say something, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you say it, the Holy Ghost will be grieved. For some of you, for where you are going, your consecration will be to study. Every day God is troubling you, read a book. And you are wondering, "I just finished reading one book, let me rest." There's no time. Where you are going to address a generation. You need a lot of raw material for wisdom to flow through you. That's your consecration. For most of you, your consecration will be for you not to make friends. Because friends can become a distraction. And so you just find yourself withdrawn. Not because you are an introvert, but because you need to gain mastery in the spirit. You need to know how to befriend angels. You need to know how to interact in the heavenly realm. And human civilization will be a distraction. And so many times you are alone in your room. Sometimes you are not even praying, but you cannot socialize. Not because socializing with people is a sin, but it's your unique consecration. If you want to be influential, you must obey it. If you don't obey it, you can never become. The day you violate that consecration, that day your influence will begin to go down. When the hair of Samson was cut, instantly Samson became a puppet. He said, "I will go out as at other times." In Judges 16, 19 to 20, he said, "And I will shake myself." And the Bible said, he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He had violated his consecration. This is why some of you, the day you fornicated, suddenly the voice of God left you. You couldn't hear God anymore. Because your consecration was tied to your purity. This is why some of you, the day you lied and spoke arrogantly, you discovered the anointing went down. Because your consecration is built on truth. If you know this, you will watch it. You will walk with it. One person's consecration can be a sin for another person. there are some persons that their consecration is to give to every poor person they see, no matter how little, because of where they are going to. And they are giving like madmen. Even they can't understand why. It's where they are going to. If you teach it, you'll be wrong, because it's not a doctrine. It's a personalized dealing.
Praise God.
This is how influence is worked. This is how influence is developed. If your consecration demands that you shouldn't sleep, better pay the price to be awake. If you sleep now, you have sold your future. Even if you are not reading or praying, stay awake. That's your consecration. Perhaps there's a visitation assigned to you. It's the day you sleep that you'll miss it. And you wonder why your life will be so irrelevant. It's because you violated consecration. The principle of consecration is a must for influence. For Jesus, in John chapter 3, from verse 15 to 17, he came to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John the Baptist said, "No, I should be baptized of you." He said, "Suffer it to be so for now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." He passed that test. The Spirit now led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted. The moment he was coming down, he said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light." And in verse 15 of Matthew 4, suddenly, the Bible said, his fame went abroad. Influence appeared at the instance of keeping the demands of consecration. And so consecration and sanctification is the first principle of influence. What is sanctification? It's to refuse yourself being defied by the corruption of your environment or your generation. In Luke chapter 1 verse 80, it says John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. If you allow your generation corrupt you, you can't lead them. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 to 10 and verse 18 to 20, he spoke about Daniel. He said they refused to be defied by the portion of the king's meat. And he said when the king now asked questions, he said they were 10 times better than all their peers. The demand for consecration and sanctification must be kept. Most of us today are saying we are the next voice for our generation, but our life in the dark is despicable. We think we can hide it from men. Brothers and sisters, you cannot hide it from spirits. They see, they know, and they follow you. If it is God that will make you influential, you cannot escape the principle of consecration and sanctification. Number two, what is the principle for influence? Is the principle of service and virtue. You cannot be influential unless as you start answering the questions of humanity. Influence is not looking for opportunities to manifest. Influence is looking for problems to solve. And so when you find a man who is influential, he's not influential because of the color of his skin or because of the name he bears. It's because every time he's mentioned, there is a crisis he's answering. There's a problem of humanity that he has become an answer to. And so if you want to be influential, you must build capacity to become a problem solver. Go and check all the big names of society today. They represent different solutions to human crisis. That's why they are there, both in the kingdom and in the world. People like Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, they solve the problem of communication. That's why they are where they are. They are not there just because they are Americans. They are there because they answered a problem of man. You want to be influential, you must find one crisis or problem of humanity and solve it. Influence is not a gift. It is a product of solving unsolvable problems. When you find men who understand how influence works, day and night, they are looking for questions to answer. And that's why when you go to most of these mega organizations, all they are interested in are people who can ask the right questions. They want to know if you can ask the right questions, because answers are responses to questions. They pay people to ask questions.
Elon Musk said when he designs something and he gives to his friends, he tells them, don't tell me what you like about it. Tell me what you don't like. Because the reason I'm rising is because I'm answering the problems and the questions of humanity. And again, these are not kingdom ambassadors, yet they understand how these things work. Jesus said the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of the kingdom. Why we are here happy about church attendance? Why we are here happy about a new cathedral? The people of the world are answering questions, and they are taking over every sphere. If we took a census among us sitting here now, how many of us have answered the question of the crisis in Abuja, not Nigeria? How many of us even know the problems and the questions humanity is asking? Rather, we sit in Africa and we are looking for somebody in America and Europe to come and answer our question. We want to run elections. We have been doing computer science for the past 40 years in Nigeria. You can't find Nigerians in Nigeria who can design instruments to monitor elections. We have to pay it, hire it out. Because we don't know that relevance is a function of answering questions. Not because we are not capable, but because we are not thinking in that direction. And the ones who are thinking in that direction, they've run out of the country to another country. And when we come to church, we think it's just about carrying out a spiritual activity. Listen, when next you are receiving an impartation, know where to channel it. Tell yourself, I have become the problem to the crisis of Nigeria. Today we are suffering problem of insecurity. We are suffering problem of power. We are suffering a lot of issues that are very obvious. What will happen if somebody receives a wisdom today that remedies the crisis of power? Fuel subsidy was removed and the whole nation went to pandemonium. Because there is no other source of power that anybody has designed. Why would the anointing not inspire you to create something that can substitute fuel? Who told you the anointing is only for deaf ears and for blind eyes? When you are receiving an impartation, it's not only for a crusade, it's also for society. Think of the answer. Why can't we create systems that can bring surveillance over different territories that somebody can see anywhere at any time? And you say a Christian hacked into divine wisdom and created it. We cannot become influential only by speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is very important. It cannot be overemphasized. But we must become answers to the problem of humanity. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You are not too small to be the answer. If you become the answer, your true stature will manifest. If you go to China and to America and you find some of the people inventing things, remedying the problem of men, you will start weeping. Some of them are boys from high school. Boys. They are on the computer. Why we are on computer doing Yahoo Yahoo? They are on the computer creating chips that can be hosted on Android, hosted on iOS, in order to solve a problem somewhere around the world. Don't rest until you solve a problem. You don't have to be an inventor. You can start from simple things that you can handle and grow from there. It's called the principle of service. Your relevance to a generation is tied to the degree of service you can render. And then along service is virtue. Every service that is not communicated with virtue will be rejected by generation. People are not interested in your arrogance and pride. They are interested in the services you can render. And so when you are rendering service, your carriage must be with humility so that you enjoy the goodwill of people. Even God, in James 4:7, is that God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. So your lifting is tied to the level of virtue you carry. How much virtue is in you is what determines how much height you can ascend to. And finally, the principle of power. When you come into power, how do you carry power? There are three ways to carry power. Number one, carry power with humility. The beauty of power is in the humility with which it's carried.
Number two, carry power with an understanding that is for to better humanity. The reason you are in power is not because you want to be praised. The reason you are in power is so that the life of somebody should be improved. And number three, when you carry power with the understanding that God must be glorified. These are three ways to carry power. And so when you find somebody who remains relevant in power, influence for a long time, is because he is functioning like a servant king. He knows the place of humility. It's because he's functioning like a servant. He knows that the needs of people is what keeps him relevant. And he's functioning like one who is representing the interest of God. And he wants God to be glorified. If we don't grow in influence, kingdom will not advance. If we don't grow in influence, Christianity will be reduced to one corner and will be marginalized. Many nations will consider us a nuisance and they will do everything possible to stop us. Let's not abuse the liberty we have now in Africa. Today in Africa, we think that if the sound is not loud and there are not speakers outside everywhere we're shouting, it's not impact. That's not impact. You can't go out of Africa and dare put speaker outside. Go to London and put speaker outside and say, we are affecting this territory. Hobe, hobe. Your neighbor will invite police immediately and say, you are causing public. There's nothing wrong with shouting, but you don't have to shout verbally, physically to make impact. Let the signature of your presence reflect in the lives of men and in the territory. And you will see how influential you will become. Tonight, there are three things God will be doing for us. Number one, there will be an anointing that will descend here to exalt the horns of men. You know, David understood it. He said, my horn shall thou exalt, like the horn of the unicorn, because you have anointed me with the fresh oil. It takes the anointing for a man to be invited into influence and power. Number two, there will be a grace released here to empower men to pay the demands of consecration. I tell you, there are most of us seated here who are so great that if God tells us what he wants to do with us, it will take us three lifetimes to believe it. But the only challenge we have is in the area of consecration. When we should stop to read, that's when we are watching movies. When we should be awake praying, that's when we are snoring. When we should be building capacity in different places, that's when we are distracting ourselves. And we know what we should do, but we cannot bring ourselves to doing it. Some of you here, you have told yourself, this week, I'm not going anywhere. You go and lock yourself somewhere. You pack books and say you want to read. I must read this week. 30 minutes later, when they come, the books have become your pillow. Your head is on the book. Oh, oh, you are snoring there. You will go and you will hear from the room. Is that not the man who went to study? There is no grace. He knows what he should do, but the grace is lacking. And so one thing God will do in this service is to empower you with grace to fulfill the demands of your consecration. And finally, what God will do is to occasion strategic partnerships and relationships that you need in order to come into influence. I can tell you, there's nobody in influence who does not know how to build relationship and service it. One of the major credentials of an influential man is to know how to build and manage relationships. Some of us, the people God sent into our lives, we have kicked all of them out. Get out from here, I don't need you. And after 2 weeks, you discover you cannot do with that person. Even if you have to part ways with people, part ways in peace, part ways honorably, you will be shocked that the next phase of your rising is dependent on that man that served you last year. And because you didn't know how to manage that relationship, you bumped that bridge. And what should have taken one phone call will take you 10 years of fasting and prayer. And you can come and brag and say we have prayed for 10 years. It doesn't mean you are doing well. Because what you are achieving now in 10 years, you should have achieved 10 years ago if you knew what to do with relationship.
Once again, let eternity river flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternity river flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternity
everything will work and work from the place of rest if influential men begin to rise. Why do you think the apostles were so particular about Barnabas? They had to give him a name. They call him Son of Consolation. He was called the Son of Thunder, but he entered another dimension. We are about to go to the UK now. Imagine if one person stood up and said, Apostle, I'll give you guys a chartered jet. Anybody who is led to go, I'll clear the visa bills and give you a private jet. My God, you will see many missionaries to the UK. The reason some people are quiet and saying, Lord, let that meeting work. Lord, let your glory be seen. It's not because they are not seeing themselves there. But when they checked, the means was not there. Imagine if somebody stood up and said, I pay for a chartered jet. Go and come back. Whatever you need, flight logistics, give me the bill. My God. But I've been going to UK every 6 months to bring down the fire of God. But it takes influence. It takes empowerment. That's why many among us must rise. Now lift your hands toward heaven. I don't know what you have heard. But in case you didn't hear anything, what I'm saying is that you are the head and not the tail. And it will take an anointing to truly, truly become the head. Ask the Lord tonight, the grace for influence, release it upon me.
River flow, let eternal river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen.
I taught you the principles because that one is your responsibility. But the impartation is my own responsibility. I'm about to make a declaration over someone. Strange doors will begin to open to you. Strange connections will begin to happen to you. Because God, hear this, God needs you in power for His kingdom. God needs you relevant because of His kingdom. His kingdom cannot move forward unless as you become relevant. But you see, one of the ways of bringing men to relevance is by the anointing of the Spirit. And so right now, as hands are lifted up, there's about to be a baptism of fresh oil. There's about to be an impartation of fresh oil. Everyone standing here and everyone listening to me online,
Father, you gave this word today because you want to exalt the horns of many. And so as your servant, as your priest, and as your messenger, I stretch hands over your people in the name of Jesus the Lord. Just as you help me now, there are 24 persons that God will put a fresh oil upon, because their horns are about to be exalted. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, the impartation of fresh oil. Stop the keyboard. Keep it quiet. There's an impartation of fresh oil. Take that grace now. Ushers, help them. Help them, ushers. Sons of consolation, bring them here quickly. This is a window. Quickly. Now, touch for me. Only the keyboard, slowly. Bring them here quickly. Apata kibiti ye. Ene dudabu eno. Ojo dudabu eno. Ohimini ye. Apata kibiti ye. Ene dudabu eno. Ojo dudabu eno. Ohimini ye. Apata kibiti ye. There are three of you here that a fire, a literal fire, will come upon you now. Fire. There is a fire. Don't sit on him so you don't put too much weight. There is a fire descending. I'm trying to, because of time. Father, wherever they are, you are putting that signature upon them. Take that fire. Ushers, please help them. Some of you, God is giving you a voice. A voice that must be heard. Volumes. I've been out there to you. Heard that trumpet. And then do double and up. Those of you in the choir, lift your hands. Don't worry, you can stand. The nations are about to hear your voice. You cannot be local champions. Father, in the name of Jesus, the grace that breaks into nations and command the attention of generations. In the name of Jesus, take that grace. Oh, he means it. leadership. A scepter for leadership. Everyone here that God wants to exalt is on. In the name of Jesus, now by the Spirit, take that grace. Take that grace. Take that grace. There's a scepter for economic power. Companies will come out of your loins. Wealth will come out of your loins. Father, in the name of Jesus, I activate that fountain. Take in the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Somebody is being remembered by God. I hear restoration in the spirit. I hear restoration in the spirit. And so in the name of Jesus, the power that occasions restoration, take it now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, the grace for discipline, for focus, and for stamina that many lack, in the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost is here now. Father, I release that stamina. I release that grace for focus. I release that capacity to stay within the demands of callings and ordinations. In the name of Jesus the Lord, take that grace now. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands one more time. We're out of time. Finally, the favor and the grace that occasions strategic relationships, which is a key for open doors and influence. Somebody shared a testimony with me recently where she was working. They were paying her ₦1 million per month, and somebody who knew her recommended her somewhere, and the new job they gave her, they are paying her ₦12 million per month. What she was earning in 1 year, she will start earning in 1 day, because of what? Relationship. The doors God will use men to open for you, you will be shocked. Some of you are poor with relationships. That's why you are where you are. But there is a grace tonight. Father, everyone that needs to be positioned for strategic relationships that makes for lifting, even those that have missed it many times in the past, now by the power of grace, by the power of the anointing, I reprogram, I recalibrate, I realign. Take that grace now.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.